You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, show about real-world iOS development. Today with you, your hosts, Alex Bush.
And Andrew Rohn.
And today, we're going to talk about WWDC again. And Andrew has a few things to share about this, yet another iteration of it.
I'm tired. I'm so tired. Every time a new WWDC comes out, I think equal parts excited and equal parts tired. Because it's yet again another set of APIs and new technologies and changes, sometimes breaking, and not exactly fun ones to sort of take on. And that is exciting, but it's also tiring, right? Especially with big ones, five years ago, it was Swift. That's obviously a big one. Mm-hmm. And then now with Combine, which is just like introduction to, you know, this functional reactive programming, and with Swift UI and tons of other of these huge changes, it's exciting, but equally parts like overwhelming to feel like you have to keep up with all of this. And it doesn't stop. Next year, we are going to be doing this again. So,
but Andrew, you know, you're a developer, right? That's sort of part of the job. You're supposed to learn constantly, never stop, always be on the pulse of the latest hot tech and such.
You know, that's actually why I've decided, well, not the single reason why, but one of the reasons why I wanted to pursue software engineering as a profession, as a career, is because you're constantly learning. And I would say I don't know if this is could be considered a hobby, but I just enjoy learning. Like, it's hard to say. I just like learning. I have many interests. And so I felt like, okay, well, in programming, I'm not going to ever really get bored because I'll constantly be learning. Which is true, but then at the same time, it's not as magical as I thought.
Well, I would say there is learning and then there is learning, right? It's, I think I can relate. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I can relate. And for me, in the beginning of my career, it was interesting to learn. Everything was new for me, right? It was interesting to learn new concepts, new techniques, new things that would come with those new technologies. But to me personally, lately, it's like, yeah, new tech comes out, new APIs come out, but conceptually they're not that new though. And I get bored too, actually, because of that.
Okay, yeah, this is what I was... And we kind of touched on it before in our... the last two episodes, which were like...
First impressions,
WWDC, and then a follow-up episode that went more into first impressions Swift UI. And I think some of this emotion was leaking into that episode, probably on both our parts, but I know for me for sure, in terms of feeling a sense of jadedness, which I feel like, let's say I feel like I've been maybe professional programmer for now like 3-4 years, something like that, somewhere in between maybe. This is very early, basically, in my career, and I already feel somewhat jaded. And you'll notice that I sort of talk about, in particular with Apple, especially when they come out with new technologies, and the position and the marketing of them is that either, I mean, I don't think they would outright lie and say, we invented this, this is a new concept, but it's positioned and marketed as if this is some groundbreaking thing that Apple introduced. And this is stuff that I've been learning about, and there's a history of it going back to like even the 1970s in some cases of technology that I'm just like, and also stuff that I've been pushing for, at least, you know, wherever I've worked, and often got pushback from other programmers. And once Apple sort of gives it the blessing, then all of a sudden, it seems people are a lot more open to the technology. But I know someone might say, oh, well, it was because Apple, it was a third-party dependency not endorsed by Apple. And sure, that, but like there wasn't even an openness for a lot of people, for example, for something like functional reactive programming conceptually, right? But now that Apple came out with it with this Combine, which I'm not putting down, that's great, and I'm sure they did a really good job, but now it's sort of, at least maybe it's people in my orbit that I work with, like sort of day to day, and like maybe programmers I meet here that I speak with in person. It seemed like all of a sudden they're on the hype train, and I'm just in the back of my head sort of telling myself, I've been sort of talking about this stuff for some time now, and often got sort of a, either like a pushback or sort of like, okay, you and your like ideas over there, just, you know, just quiet down here. We got work to do. So that is, I think that adds to the sense of me feeling like, it's like a I don't know if jaded is the word, but there's some like jadedness and also some like frustration built into also this, feeling of being overwhelmed of constantly new technologies, that seems to, I feel like the past couple WWDCs, maybe even, probably the past couple where I felt like, oh, like it's a positive, I'm happy that these new things are coming out, but also I'm feeling negative emotion.
Right. No, I mean, I can relate here as well with sort of majority of developers around me, iOS developers, kind of being in that camp of, oh, Apple, if, you know, they're not, they haven't blessed it, then no, we're not even thinking about it. And, but now, yeah, I'm kind of tired of that too. Like, they come out with stuff, and now all of a sudden, they, as you said, didn't invent it, but they quote unquote popularized it now all of a sudden. And now it's a cool thing to go for as your tech choice or solution choice.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I imagine also we're in our little iOS ecosystem, development ecosystem. But I could not... I think I understand now why, you know, there's this sort of... how do you say? There's like a stereotype of like the graybeard who's like, no,
right?
Like C's a perfectly fine language. Like I can do everything. Like I kind of like understand that energy more now as I've been a professional developer with like gaining more experience. Like I get it, right? Like they're seeing, you know, these shiny new toys that the cool kids on the block are bringing around. And they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, that I learned about that 15 years ago. Is that now, is that another wave of excitement for that? The every 5 years, is this is the next 5 years. So I'm understanding that more, but it's strange because I feel like I'm much too early into my career for this. And so sometimes it makes me doubt, like, how long am I going to want to be an engineer? Because if I'm feeling like this already, I don't know, at least maybe I think I would switch to a different platform before I would completely quit engineering, my engineering career, because it's very fruitful right now, right, for me, and like kind of helping me live the lifestyle I want and things like that. But yeah, it's concerning.
Like I'm feeling the same thing, actually. I mean, I've been doing it for 8 years, and so far... Every year, I would say every year, I learn less overall conceptual things, less new overall conceptual things, because there's just less and less new big things to learn, right? We just keep rinsing and repeating the same stuff, as you said, like every 5 years or whatever the cycle is, usually. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's still exciting to build things and still exciting to code, solve problems, but... I wish our community would sort of overall be less hype driven like that, if you will. I would kind of want to call it a hype.
There's definitely hype. I feel like then you're like, as let's say you're an individual developer who's sort of a self-learner and self-motivated and sort of always trying to grow as an engineer. You probably will learn these things reading
Yeah.
Other books from other languages.
Like ahead of Apple or any other company announcing that it's the exactly. new big thing.
Right. And the original edition of your book was published in 1980, but they did a refresh or whatever. And you're reading this stuff, and then you see the hype stuff come in. And as a developer or an engineer who sort of like maybe studies history more, it feels like, are we not learning? And you as an individual, or myself as an individual, I guess I'll speak for myself, you feel like you're fighting the machinations of this entire hype train. And who's behind it? It's a lot of people with the platform and the power and the money to do that. So you have Apple with their deep pockets and their immense power that they have because they control the platform. They can also for developer evangelist and sort of advertise and push for it. Then you have this sort of blogosphere, online tutorial, podcasters.
Like influencers, I guess. That's
yeah,
another
influencers
way to put
in the community who are sort of also part of this machination because it is in their interest to position themselves to be on the hype train because if you want to be part of the cool kids, you have to like you have to join the hype train or you're going to be the proverbial graybeard, you know, with this saying, all we need is C function pointers, you know, like you can do object oriented with just C, if you, you know what I mean? No one's listening to that person anymore. And maybe they should be because I don't know. I definitely feel that. It's
no,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. To be frank, I think I told you about it. After this Swift UI announcement, even though I'm not fully on board with all of it, but hype is so strong, I kind of want to jump on that bandwagon myself and, well, do a course or a book on
absolutely.
Swift UI or something like that, right? Just because it's such a, well, hype thing right now, the wave I want to ride.
If you want to sell books, you write a Swift UI book right now. You don't write a book on, like, I don't know, understanding frames, like, no, or understanding auto layout. Like, no, like, the hype train's not there anymore. That's so 5 years ago.
Or
sometimes it's so 1 year ago.
Or simply not even the technologies that are quote-unquote old now, but like something else, like design patterns, right?
That's more timeless things.
Timeless.
Conceptual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're just not, it's not the hype. Although maybe today you write about, I don't know, null design object pattern or something. And then next year, Apple actually integrates that as one of the core design patterns of Coca, and now all of a sudden, boom, that's the thing. It's like, God damn it, people.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I guess for me, I just sort of like realize that I, as an individual, I guess I have this very small platform in this podcast that we do, but you know, we're not like we're not a corporation that can invest in really advertising and pushing for this thing or have a huge platform with, you know, 100,000 people downloading every episode in the first week or something like that. Like, so for me, I guess in terms of coping, I just sort of have to quietly accept that this is how things are and just sort of try to put things in perspective of like, okay, this is the hype train. I see it, and I'll dabble in it and sort of jump on the hype train, you know, but, like, self-aware to know that, like, this is a hype train and don't, like, confuse this for the broader sort of deeper lessons you can be learning.
Right. I would say you should always look at the hype train and the new stuff coming out through the lens of, well, is that timeless, right? Is that through the lens of like those design patterns and architectures. Is that the new thing? Is that the old thing? Is it a good thing? Things like that, right? Gives you perspective, I guess. And also what I wonder, and again, you and I talked about it, how do people who've been coding for even longer than both of us put together feel? Like Uncle Bob or Martin Fowler.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't imagine. They've seen
imagine.
It all.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. So, yeah, that's interesting. And, like, I also think of, like, other communities where there's more of a, I feel like the hype sort of station, if you will, is a lot more full. Like, let's say JavaScript.
Oh, yeah.
And I... JavaScript's like always the punching bag on here. Well, mostly from Alex, but right. I don't know enough about it to really speak too intelligently about JavaScript. But it seems from an outsider perspective that a lot of people complain about technologies coming and going. Web, I feel like, is that way. It's always constantly coming and going. I feel like on there, I would be miserable because if I'm already right. sort of not, if I'm already sort of uncomfortable here in the iOS world where things are slower relative to that, then it's.
Yeah, at least we have this 1 year cycle. What they have is, well, to a degree, like maybe big ones like React Native do too because of the company behind it. But like other frameworks, they're just, or simply new frameworks coming out all the time, right? That's not on any schedule. It can happen every freaking month.
Yeah.
So it's like, ugh.
Yeah, and I've also, like, it's funny, I was, we've been writing Swift more aggressively at Reddit now because we're trying to move over to Swift, and so it's a learning curve for me because I've not professionally written Swift in a serious manner until now, until recently when we started making this move at Reddit the past few months, and I remember I was trying to do some stuff with like generics and like associated types and all this new fancy cool stuff, which is great, I'm not putting it down, I think it's all great. But there was one case where, like, I think it was something with, like, ARC and, like, capturing, not wanting to capture a block and, like, have it guaranteed that a reference cycle couldn't be made. And I was thinking, like, if I could just write this in, like, C or C++, none of this would, like, with the ARC or anything like that, like, it's just, like, the raw material. And I would just be like, okay, cool, I have this pointer to something, right? And I could just keep it around as long as I want. Like, I control the life cycle of that. But instead, I was fighting Swift with its strictness and like the lots of things that it does for you, which again is great. But like also sometimes it's like all this extra stuff in the way. So I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see. We'll see how long I'll last.
I think it took me a couple of years to get used to Swift's strictness. I believe if you can recall, I was complaining to you in the beginning that. Oh my freaking God, I'm not a child. I know what I'm doing. Swift, get off my back. Right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I remember.
Now I got used to it. And I guess I kind of now can use compiler to my advantage to actually guide me rather than fight me back. But yeah, occasionally, like, I hear you. But that's a tool, right? Like, language... I would consider there is a difference between everyone gets caught up in the languages usually and like, oh, this language is better than this one. And, you know, if you don't use it, you're like behind times or something. It's not about the languages. It's more about the frameworks and APIs and concepts and bigger picture stuff like design patterns, right? And those are the timeless things that are not language specific.
I agree.
Why nothing's new, really.
Yeah, I agree. Like, language matters a lot less than, like, the examples we were giving before, like, for example, Swift UI. But in this case, I think that there is some basics lost. Like, in this case, I wanted to control the lifecycle of an object of when it's deallocated off the heap, right? Mm. Rather than have this abstraction called ARC, automatic reference counting, that does it for me. And I know that I could, if I really wanted to, do some quote-unquote hacky things to manually keep it in memory or something like that. But then I would probably get pushback from people saying, oh, you know, like this is too clever or like too hacky. You're not doing a Swift style, you're not following the Swift style. But... then I feel like, well, I'm trapped because the language that I'm using doesn't allow me to do this thing that, like, it's perfectly valid for me to do. It's just the language. We have to fight the language a little bit. But those are basics. Like, putting something on the heap, what is a pointer? Like, what is the heap? What is the stack? What matters? Where it goes? Why do we need to delete something that's on the stack? Sorry, that's on the heap manually versus on the stack? You can... just not worry about it. Like, those are basics that, like, they can get painted over with the language. I think it's less so with language, but I think this is an example where we're sort of like losing the thread of like the basics of computing and like sticking to fundamentals. So in that sense, I was frustrated. This is like more of a smaller example. But with Swift UI and Combine and things like that, it's more frustrating because it's like these new technologies that, I don't know. I already said it earlier.
So yeah, basically, I guess what we're trying to say is the more you do it, the less new conceptual things there are to learn. And what really is interesting to both of us to learn is the new concepts, right?
I think you'd do better in academia then. Okay, so this is something that I've been thinking about a lot because I know you're not a fan of like academic sort of things. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I like more pragmatic things.
Sure. Okay. False dichotomy, but let's continue. So this is something I've sort of been baking in. That's an idea that's been baking in my mind for maybe like the past 6 months is how much we think of programming and computing as like this very objective thing. But I think humanity and sort of politics and things like that are infused in the technology that we use because as we were discussing earlier, a lot of this stuff is like hype train, which is really driven by often large corporation with big pockets, along with a lot of other sorts of people who have money invested in this thing. And so what happens is people are sort of going where the dollars are instead of going where the concepts and the learnings are. So I see this in like, I feel like the software industry, because a lot of the thinking is, oh, well, this is engineering. We're here to do serious real world, you know, stuff that like really affects people. We're not here to like, you know, have some obscure academic debate. But I feel like there's a lot of stuff in our industry that can really benefit from stricter sort of kind of more academic approach. Like, for example, model view controller. WTF, why are there so many different implementations and interpretations of model view controller? Because there's no strong definition of it because none was ever given because programming is such a nascent field and we really have not taken the time to sort of really be very clear on what is what and sort of delineating the lines and things like that, which if you work in a corporation, you don't, unless it's like the research department of like some huge corporation that can afford that, you really don't have time to think about that. You're just like trying to like get your like button to show on the screen, for example. And I think we as programmers would really benefit from being, as much as a lot of us like to think we're disciplined, being more disciplined and tactical in how we name things and how we think about concepts and things like that. Because, again, like model view controller, why is there a fundamental difference in the way Apple's implementation of model view controller, at least the dependency direction where the controller sits in the middle, versus in the original formulation of it, the model and the view were more closely bound because the view would update the state based on the model, which in Apple's sort of suggested way of implementing it is different. Like, why is there such a big difference? Like, and why did no one notice that? Because probably they were just trying to get things done and working in a corporation, and like, they're not worried about that. But like, I feel like we as an industry and we as programmers need to step back and like do those exercises and say like, look, this is model view controller. This other thing here is inspired by model view controller. Call it something else. Or perhaps we can say, hey, they're both model view controller, but this one has like model view controller type 1. I don't know. It's a terrible name. And then model view controller type 2 or whatever. Right. Cause I feel like so many people have written blog posts and opinions on like what really is model view controller or like how you should do it or, oh, you're doing model view controller wrong. And no one is right because all of us are like, there's no structure. There's no body that says like, hey, this is it, right? So I think we need to get more sort of standardized and professional and like can learn more from sort of academic quote unquote exercises. So yeah, this is my rant episode. I'm tired. Just wanted to share that because this is a feeling that I've had, and I feel like I'm probably not alone. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I think the main message, at least for me here, is guys, don't get on the hype train. Be aware of it. Maybe even actually get in it and ride it a little, but learn the timeless concepts. That's going to help you way more in your career. And maybe you get bored like us in like 4 years. And then again, I don't know. Find a new job or whatnot.
Right. That is it for today, everyone. Thank you very much for listening to me rant. You can find us on Twitter at InsideIOSDev. You can email us at hello@InsideIOSDev.com. And you can get Alex's book, iOSInterviewGuide.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.